I am a big believer, first off, that the right book finds the right person at the right time. And there are people in this world, so many different stories and cultures and experiences that need to be able to read books that speak to where they're at. And one of the biggest gifts of reading is that it not only expands our horizons, right? And helps us have empathy and understanding for other people. It also helps us not feel alone. It helps us feel like there's someone else who understands us. Hi, I'm Steph Hockersmith, and you're entering a world gone good.
Well, hello, my name is Steve, and this is the place where we shine the light into the darkness to prove there is still good out there, and lots of it. Welcome to World Gone Good. This is our first new show after our oh-so-brief hiatus, and I gotta ask, did you miss me as much as I missed you? Aw, we're gross. But we are us, and we're here, and we're ready to bring on the good, so let's just be gross and good together, yes? Yes. Okay, so you've been hearing me plug my own book, Drown Town, available on both Amazon and Barnes & Noble websites for a while now. I mean, I've been pushing my book on you since I released it back in November. And today is the perfect reason for me to say, I told you so. It's not exactly an I told you so, but I sure do enjoy saying I told you so at times like this. Because I just said it three times in a row, and a second or two from now, it'll make sense. Okay, stay with me. I'm on the Insta, and I see a post from someone who has taken a book cover and turned it into a pie. Let me clarify, she didn't physically take the book itself and bake it. That would be disgusting. Do better. Do better, people. No, what she did and does is turn her love of reading into a work of art through pies. I'm talking next level here. These pies are fully colored and layered, intricate designs. They are stunning. And I became obsessed in a good way. This is Steph Hockersmith from Pie Lady Books, and she's here to share her good reading and baking times. Well, today is quite a day because we are putting together, much like a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup, two things I love. And before I tell you what they are, I'm going to ask a question to start this. Steph, which came first, the book or the pie? Is the old chicken or the egg?
It is a tricky question. It was actually the book. The book came first.
Okay. Okay. So where did the love of books come from?
I think just, you know, my mom was a reader. My great grandma worked in publishing, and I just have always loved reading. So that's, you know, I've had different phases in my life where I read more than others, but I have always loved reading books.
Do you have a favorite book?
Ooh, yes. Actually, it is Frankenstein by Mary Shelley.
Wow, that was really fast that you answered that question, and you chose a really fascinating, that's a great book.
It is an amazing book. It's so different than what culturally is presented. You know, most people think you're getting just this horror novel, and it is like a gothic horror classic, obviously, but there's so much depth, and it's more philosophical and just a really empowering look at what can happen if you don't pay attention to other people and your pride gets in the way. And it's really beautifully written. I was completely blown away when I first read it several years ago, and I've been obsessed with it ever since.
I know. I always think of that book, and I think of like a society on autopilot that has forgotten their humanity.
Yes.
And as also connection, forgotten the connection back to like the things that made us happy as when we were kids, or the things that made us happy in life, or looking for things, you know, beyond just autopilot.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, it is a really incredible book.
Amazing. Now, pies tie into this. So let's take a step back here for a second. Okay. You are the Pie Lady?
I am, yes. Pie Lady Books. But most people call me the Pie Lady.
Did you choose that title or someone gave you that title?
I did start my account as Pilot eBooks. I had no idea it would become what it is today. It started as just a place where I could talk about books and also share some pretty pies that I was making because I also was a pie baker. And I had no ideas of, I had no plans of making book pies or that becoming a thing. That came actually about 6 months in to the process. So I was grateful I had already had that name. And then as my account started to get traction, people just started calling me the Pie Lady. And now that is who I am.
Well, your account has gotten a little bit of traction. We're talking 97,000 followers just on Instagram. That's a little bit of traction, my friend.
Yeah, that's some traction. Yeah.
So let me ask a couple questions about baking, cooking. Did you go to culinary school?
No, I did not. I have always loved baking. I would say reading and baking have been the two ways I kind of escape my self-care therapy since I was little. But when about 20 years ago, I became really sick and developed really severe brain damage. And it was because I was having multiple seizures a day. I was in a wheelchair. I could barely walk, talk. Just the person I was gone, the person I was gone. And we had no idea what was going on. We did all the tests and scans. And then we found out that I had a very severe allergy to gluten. And I was one of the 10% of people, that number may be higher now, of celiacs who have gluten ataxia. So basically when I would eat gluten, my body would attack my brain. And it was such a weird answer. We never could have expected that. And I was grateful to have obviously a relatively simple answer, but it created a whole lifestyle change, you know? And so I had to completely relearn how to bake. And I think one of my feisty side hated the fact that all of the baked gluten-free baked goods I saw kind of looked gross. They just didn't look beautiful and they weren't known for tasting really great. And I think as part of my healing, the process of healing my brain, and that was like a 10-year process. I mean, it was a very long journey. I started challenging myself more and more, and I had never baked a pie before in my life, but I started trying to conquer the gluten-free pie, and it was such a meditative process. And I loved, you know, creating things with pie art and figuring out how to work with gluten-free dough. And, ended up mastering the gluten-free pie. And then later, obviously years later, that became gluten-free book pies. So it's been a really interesting journey.
God, there's so many things I want to ask you. All right, yeah. Hold on. Yeah. Let's go back for a second. Can you tell us how old you are when this all happened?
Yes, I was 22. So actually it wasn't quite 20 years ago because I will be 40 this year, which is like, but I mean, it's exciting, but also crazy that it's been so long. But yeah, I was 22. I was totally healthy. I was in college. I had been experiencing some mild like depression, anxiety, but I kind of wrote that off on being.
Going to college and being
exactly,
your age. Right?
Exactly. Yeah. Well, I didn't really think too much about it, you know, beyond, you know, getting medication and taking care of myself in that way. But then, shortly after I turned 22, things just started to go downhill really fast. And then I was never the same again.
Now, you didn't have any issues as a kid, or did you?
I did not.
Interesting.
So celiac disease, I could go on a whole thing about it, but basically I have the genetic autoimmune disease. You know, there are people with gluten allergies. I have like the genetic disease that makes me very allergic to gluten. And I didn't know this. I had no symptoms until I got a really bad case of mono at the end of high school. And then I went on like some powerful antibiotics after that. And they think it was that combination of a really severe virus and the antibiotic that kind of kickstarted my genetic predisposition to celiac disease in play. And it just was starting to ramp up. And you know, when you're in college, you don't eat great, right? Like you basically live on pizza, and I was living on pizza.
Ramen.
No idea. Yes, exactly. And ramen. I had no idea. I was basically poisoning myself every time I ate. And it was crazy. It was just mind blowing.
Gluten-free pies. Gluten, 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 my friend. I am a vegan and I do a lot of cooking myself. Gluten-free is a bitch to work with because you got to work with the gummy factor. And yes, the slimy, this is the nicest way I could say it, right? Poor gluten, if you're listening. But it's you can taste the difference when someone does it well and someone doesn't do it well, right?
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah, gluten is a binding agent. And so, you know, it's what makes bread like have that beautiful crusty, the crumb in the bread, make it soft and squishy.
And the bounce.
Elasticity. Yeah, the bounce. And so it's what, you know, and I will say, while having gluten-free pies is easier and harder at the same time, I would say easier in the element of I don't have to like have a dough that needs to rise and have a super a lot of elasticity. But I will say a level of elasticity would be helpful because gluten-free pie dough tends to fall apart really easily. And so that can be tricky. So it's been an interesting journey for sure.
All right. I want to talk about the pies for a second. This is a little bit difficult because we are, you know, a podcast and there's no visuals, but we're going to put some visuals up. What everyone listening needs to know, if you don't know about Steph here, we're not talking, you know, the pie I get at the supermarket here. All right. you did one recently and I'm right now looking at it for Damsel and yes. It's insane what you did. Because it is so beautiful, and it's also some of the ones you do, you take the cover and you pretty much mirror the cover.
Yes.
But with Damsel, you went a little bit out on your own, and it's stunning.
Thank you.
So how do you choose the design that you're doing? And I'm talking for everybody who's listening right now, please go follow her. We're going to give you all that information a little bit here, but you have to see the colors on this.
Thank you. Yeah, it's, you know, design is basically a game time decision. I wish I could tell you I really planned a whole lot out in advance. I do to a degree in ordering what supplies I think I may need, but I did not know what I was going to do with Damsel until I started working with it because I knew I didn't want to do an exact replica of the cover. I wanted to incorporate more dragon scales and things like that. I wasn't sure how that would all work together. So that was just kind of like me digging in and playing with it and figuring out what would happen.
But you read the book, and we'll use this as an example. So you read Damsel, and as an artist, the artist side of you tapped into it. So we got to go back for a second here. Did you take art classes? Did you take painting classes? Wow.
No, I thought I was the short end of the artistic stick in our family. My mom is incredibly artistic, and I cannot draw to save my life.
Oh, come on. No, you are.
No, I can't. I really can't. But there was something about, and this was what was cool. And I think what's really cool about our human brains is like, they're kind of like a whole mysterious world in there. And they have such, you know, like incredible healing powers. And like, there was apparently a little piece of me that was quite artistic. It just needed to work with pie dough. And so, and I learned that I have a really great knack for color theory. I just kind of know by my gut what I need to add to mimic the colors based on the cover of the book. And those were things I had no idea about myself. And that's, I think, one of the best things that has come out of this is this surprising realization of, wow, there was more to me in there that I had no idea existed.
Does your mom now like feel like a little jealous? Or do you go to your mom's house and you knock things over and you're like, garbage, that she's made?
Oh gosh, no, she's so talented. And she can just draw and paint and everything she touches is beautiful. So she's proud. She always thought I had some art, an artistic side. I never believed her. And so she is just glad that she is right. And she was.
Do you think that the books over the years inspire you and your artistic side?
Yes. Yes. I will say I am one of those people that will absolutely... It started as, you know, a love for the story inside and wanting to show my love of a book and kind of a love letter to the author as well for these books that had given me hope and endurance while I was healing. And, but now I am definitely the type of person that buys a book for the cover alone because I get so excited. I look at it and I think, ooh, I want to turn that into a pie. And sometimes I read the book and I don't love it and it doesn't become a pie. But most of the time I kind of have a sense of what I like to read. And if it sounds like a book I'd love to read and I love the cover, then it's almost a shoo-in for sure.
I love it too because you offer up like a pairing, like a drink pairing to go with the pie that relates back with the book. And then you also include like a little review, your feelings on it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I try to, you know, give the people who follow me a full experience of this is everything I felt. This is like something you can taste, kind of like a little mini book club in each post, you know? And so I want to tie it back to the pies because that's a huge part of me and what I do. And there are a lot of people that follow me that do not think they're pies. I get a lot of people who think they're cake, which I get, like, it does look like fondant. I get a little salty about it sometimes because I'm like, gluten-free pie dough is really hard to work with and that's what I'm using, you know? And so, you know, cake artistry has had its heyday and there is a really incredible beauty to pie art. And so, but I totally understand because it looks like fondant. And some people think I just like, it's Play-Doh. I've had a couple people ask if it's Play-Doh.
It looks like it. I mean, no, I don't mean it. I don't mean that.
No, but it does. Yeah,
right. Absolutely. Not in a bad way. Right.
Yeah. No, because I mean, it is really, it's dough that is I've colored with food coloring. And so it's not unlike Play-Doh. It's just, it's edible pie dough and you can bake it and eat it and it's delicious. So yeah, that's been fun.
The recipes, they are your own. You get them out of books. There are things that come from your family tree.
I will say, so the gluten-free pie dough recipe, which I have not released into the world yet because I worked really, really hard on it. And I am kind of still working on it to make it more user-friendly. That one I created on my own. You know, you do a lot of research and you kind of riff off things you see. And that one I created, I have a like kind of a classic, like six pies that I make really well, like flavor wise that I make really well that are my own. And then other places I just will, you know, I'll borrow, but I don't tend to share a ton of recipes on my page just because I am not a recipe developer. I know what tastes good and I love to bake, but because I spend so much mental energy on the artistic side of creating the pie art, I don't have a lot of energy for the like recipe developing. And so that's something I'd like to get deeper into in the future. But right now I tend to just stick with the ones that I do well or give recommendations of other recipes like I've seen on the Food Network or other bloggers that I think would be really good with that book.
How long does a pie, the average one, take from start to finish?
Probably about 6 hours, I would say.
And do you do multiple ones? Do you do like a test one or do you do one and go, well, that's screwed up and I'm going to go again? Like, how does it, is it different every time?
Yes, it's different every time. I will say after doing this for so long, I'm to the point now where I can kind of, even when I'm not sure what's going to happen, like I would say Damsel took about an hour for me to figure out how I wanted the design to look. And then I just went for it. And so.
So hold on. So when you were doing that, here's a question, because we already talked about this. Yeah. Did you sketch it out? Or was it all in your head?
Never sketch. Yep. It's all in my head.
God, we're so much alike. Keep going.
I will trace, like I will trace elements off of a book cover or like different things that I think, but I just am not a sketcher. And so I will go for it. And then I just do far better, even like freehanding, cutting things out with pie dough and the X-Acto knife. I don't know why my brain is the way it is. And it likes the X-Acto knife and the pie dough versus a pencil and a piece of paper, but that's just the way it is. So, I did not sketch anything. I just kind of messed with it for a while, which is tricky because you want to keep pie dough cold. And so I'll kind of have to like take a break and like make it cold again. And it's a whole thing, but it's really fun.
When you set out to start this whole adventure.
Yeah.
Were you like, I'm just going to put this out there, or I have a goal, I want to spread my word, or I want to get 100,000 followers. What was the, when you began, what was it?
When I began, it genuinely was just, I had no idea that like Bookstagram was even a thing, you know, the book community, it was just kind of getting started on Instagram. And I just thought, I want to find a space to share the books that I'm loving. And that's how it started. And then I would, every once in a while, I'd share a pie that I made or like a pie recipe or something. And then about 6 months in, I thought, I wonder if I could turn this book cover into a pie, like, and just recreate it. It was very rough. It was very, it was not great, but I had no tools to work with. I had never done it before. But I really enjoyed it. And I thought, this is such a fun way to like share my love of this book and to kind of honor the author and what they did. And then it just grew and my skills increased and I did a ton of research and just like learned a lot. And you'll notice that like very far back in my feed, I didn't use color really at all.
Right,
and
then
I saw actually like a fellow pie baker like using a little bit of food coloring, and I had no idea pie dough could absorb food coloring quite like that. And then it just takes to it really well. And so then I started playing around with that. And then I was like, ooh, I'm actually pretty good at matching these colors up and creating new designs. And so that's when I started. It really was just a heart of sharing the books that I was loving. And I thought maybe like 20 people would see it, right? Like that's kind of what I thought. I had no idea that my pies would end up becoming kind of a thing in the book world and something that authors, their goals were to have me make a pie for their book or, you know, be able to work one day with different book clubs or things like that. And I definitely didn't ever imagine it turning into like a business that I could do. And but it ended up, you know, I will say my heart is the same and that it's still a way for me to share my love of books and help authors get their word out there. It just looks more polished and a little different than it did, you know, 6 years ago.
Which you just led me in perfectly and led us in perfectly. I am sure there are authors, publishers, literary agents, publicists, managers contacting you.
Yes.
Sending you books, begging you, pleading, offering you money. How many are you getting roughly? If you don't want to give us a full on number, you don't have to, but are you getting a lot of that? Are you getting some of that? Are you rolling your eyes at a little bit? Are you like, leave me alone?
No, never. I actually, you know, I kind of accidentally started about 2 years ago. I thought I would just like do a little post on my stories and say, hey, if anyone wants to commission a pie, like I'd be happy work with you. And I did not anticipate the influx of requests that came. Up until that point, I had gotten a few people being like, do you want to read my book? Or, you know, publishers sending me books. But I didn't, it wasn't quite, like, it wasn't abnormal for someone who talked about books as much as I did. And then when I posted that, it was like, I was busy for 2 years straight. I am just now kind of coming out of that. And now I am like, so I kind of started a business accidentally. And now I work with authors and publicists and publishers and, you know, different book clubs to help promote the books that they want to promote. I have reduced significantly the amount I do each week because there needs to be room for the books I'm also reading. I read the book. I will only take commissions of books I want to read and want to post about. And I will, and so I try to keep it really honest on that front. But there were also other books I was reading in my spare time that I really wanted to talk about that I just didn't get the space to do that. So I'm kind of dialing it back a little bit now, but still very much doing that because I love getting to work with authors and help them spread the word about their books. And that's been really rewarding.
So this is your full-time gig.
This is my full-time gig. It is. Yep. It keeps me busy. I could never, ever have imagined it. And it's a gift, honestly, because I wasn't able to finish school. I mean, I could go back now, right? But I'm tired and I don't really want to. And if I needed to, I would. But I couldn't finish school. And I, you know, for years struggled to even do an office job or a job out of the house because I would get sick. Like my body just wasn't strong enough. Now I'm to a place where I could reliably hold down a job outside of the home or, you know, go back to school and stuff. But it has been a long, long journey. And so it's kind of nice to be able to have the flexibility, especially as a mom of, you know, two boys, to be able to work from home. And so I can be home if they, you know, need, if they have a sick day, you know, I still work, but they're, you know, we're here. So that's been really nice.
Okay. What happens when it's time to cut into the pie? Like, take us through the destruction and the good part when we get to eat it.
Yes. Well, I will say that that is probably my followers' number one frustration with me, is that I don't show the pies baked as often as they would like. All of the pies you see on my page are pre-baked because the colors are brighter. What I've learned, because I make so many pies a week, I will do a design. So I make a filling and the base, and then I will do a design on top. And then after that day, like, that'll take a whole day. And then I will scrape it off and then, you know, put the filling back in the fridge. Then the next day I'll redo it. I'll do a different design on top and then bake that one. So I'm only baking like every other pie, so that it kind of eliminates how many, because it's just like too many pies, right? Like, it's so many. And when it's time to destroy it, I will say it's hard. It's hard. I mean, it's okay, but it's
so
hard
funny that I said we were using the word destroy. We mean enjoy.
Exactly. When it's time to enjoy it, my boys love fighting over like which pieces of the design they get, stuff like that, and it's fun. And I always do, this is like random that maybe no one cares about, but I always do like a plain layer of dough underneath the crust design I'm doing, so that if people don't want to eat food coloring, they can kind of remove that piece and just get like the pie aspect of it. But most people, I've brought my pie designs several places, and it doesn't seem to bother most people.
How do you enjoy Octavia Spencer in The Help when she shows up with the pie? Do you have a little laugh about that? I know it's based on a book, right? So yeah. Is that like an inside pie lady kind of haha?
I mean, I will say the time I saw that, it was far before I was like really making pies for like regularly, but I do think back to that sometimes and I'm like, man, that was a brilliant move. She's amazing.
If we can for a second, get into a little bit of a dangerous zone. So let's get a little dangerous here.
Yeah.
What do you think, how do you feel about the book bannings and banning of any book that's going on across the country? Do you have anything to say about that?
That's such a great question. I am very against it, because I think that literature, I am a big believer, first off, that the right book finds the right person at the right time. And there are people in this world, so many different stories and cultures and experiences, that need to be able to read books that speak to where they're at. And one of the biggest gifts of reading is that it not only expands our horizons, right, and helps us have empathy and understanding for other people, it also helps us not feel alone. It helps us feel like there's someone else who understands us. And especially in schools where, you know, kids are teens, preteens, developing, they need resources that speak to where they are and who they are. And then, you know, even as adults, I think it's a really dangerous path. I think all literature is valuable, if that makes sense. Like, I think, you know, but what speaks to me and what I don't love or what I don't connect with doesn't mean that someone else isn't going to really connect with it and they're going to absolutely love it. And so I think there needs to be access to all of the books for everyone. I think that's really important.
We end the show with three questions. Don't worry, you know the answer. Don't panic. Question number one, where do people find you? How do they follow you?
The main place right now is on Instagram at PieLadyBooks. You can email me at PieLadyBooks@gmail.com. And I am also on Facebook at PieLadyBooks.
The last two questions, answer any way you want, can go back to anything we talked about. Who inspires you?
Ooh. I'd say my mom, first and foremost. She taught me to read. She is strong, just this amazing badass woman. She's the strongest woman I know. And she, you know, encouraged my love of reading, encouraged my love of art. She's been my biggest champion from day one. And she inspires me daily. And I think the other one would be just all of these authors who pour their heart into these books and share them with the world, not knowing whether people will receive them well or whether they will get banned or, you know, what will happen. And I just deeply appreciate the vulnerability and work that goes into what they do, because I genuinely believe that literature saves lives.
And the final question is not a question. It's a statement to finish. Tell me something good.
Oh, something good. Something good is that life is surprising and you never know what's going to happen next in your story. And I went from being in a wheelchair 20 years ago to being on the Today Show 2 years ago. So I would just say to always have hope, because while life is hard, it's also a really amazing journey. And that is something good that we can all hold on to.
Thank you, Steph, for sharing your good. Go follow Pie Lady Books on Instagram for more good times with the Pie Lady. Next time on World Gone Good.
And I know this sounds maybe a little hyper-spiritual for a podcast like yours, but I feel sometimes like there is a path in life, and if you just take the time to listen to what your inner voice is saying to you, that really clarifies the next decision that you should be making. And, you know, maybe mom was right. Maybe it was Bashir.
When Dr. Mark David Monk first heard his calling, he answered, and that's when his life changed and the adventure began. His inspiring story may spark you to do the same yourself. Mark shares his journeys through East Africa as a doctor trained in Western medicine and how he was offered a path and knew it was the one for him, so he took it. I can't wait for you to hear this episode. Until then, be good.